the countdowns is the hardest part. Oh, there it is. And you got stuff blown up. It's so far, good start. Good start.
I always try to put that on mute, except for when I don't.
Is that your phone?
Yeah.
I don't really know how to mute my phone.
I just...
Or unmute it.
I put it on mute, but then, I don't know, I put it on mute like a minute ago, and then it's unmuted.
Yeah, that's me, man. And we're old. Hello and welcome to episode 455 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam.
I'll just wait for the rest.
Yeah, no, I'm cutting it off short.
You're Wolfman Jack, just circling the USA in an airplane, broadcasting from an airplane in parts unknown.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to be mysterious, you know, just keep you guessing.
That's right. You're the front man, and I'm the guitarist with Mystique. That was the deal we agreed upon.
That's right. That's our...
Fine. I'll say it. Your looks have become a problem.
Okay.
All right. And scene from Almost Famous. That was Almost Famous. Almost Famous.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that would have made you Russell Hammond.
I don't remember their names. I do think it would be fun if we reenacted the scene from the bus where they sing Tiny Dancer.
Yeah, no one wants to. Did you ever see Dave Grohl reenact that on the Craig Kilborn show?
I did not.
It was awesome. Now that you brought it up, find it on YouTube eventually and have a look at that. It's very fun. He had a good time with it.
Okay. All right.
I would like to be friends with Dave Grohl.
Sure. Why not? Seems like a nice guy.
Oh, why not? I think he's probably not gonna run. My wife's alarm's going off in the background.
You're rattled.
It's annoying. It's rattling me. Hang on.
Alarm is ringing. Okay. Please go turn it off.
It's a little... Okay. Peek the alarm behind is, the curtain. That was a little...
Yeah, the alarm is that my laundry is done.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's for me, but it's not for me. It's for her to go get my laundry.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
So now I feel bad. Well, I was busy. I was out coaching T-ball, and we have baseball tomorrow, and I need my white socks to wear underneath, so please go wash them.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm a stirrups guy. I'm a stirrups and sannies guy. I know it's pretty rare now. There's only a couple of us left in the world who wear the two socks.
Are you incapable of doing your own laundry?
No, I did the laundry. I did it, but here's the thing: is we don't have a dryer here. Okay, we don't own a dryer. Never have, and so they need to come out at a certain time. And so she set an alarm to remind us to get them out when they're done.
You should get a dryer.
So that dryer's a waste of time.
No, it's awesome.
Money. It's actually the opposite of a waste of time. It's just a waste of money and it eats your clothes. But anyways, point being, they have to have enough time to dry before a doubleheader tomorrow. So that's all I'm saying. So if it was 10 minutes ago, I would have gone and got the laundry. I'm not a Neanderthal. I'm just saying, now that I'm podcasting, it's up to somebody else.
I would strongly suggest getting a dryer.
I just want the alarm off. All right, Amazon. I'll go click through on our site and pick up a dryer. I'll get one. You know what they do have here? Like, dryers aren't that... I mean, they're common, but it's not uncommon to not have a dryer here. And so but they have a washing machine dryer combo. Like, it's the same machine.
Okay.
How does that even work?
I'm not sure, but I've seen them. I've seen them as well. I'm not sure, but they do work apparently.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway, point being, click through our site on and go to Amazon and help us out. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Why not?
All right. Bumpy start to this to 455.
Yeah, it's only going to get better from here.
Can't get worse. Yeah. So, taxes.
Yeah.
Religion.
Oh, camera stuff. Let me enlighten our listeners on the recent purchase I made. Oh,
because that's under the... Okay, what's going on, Adam?
Yeah, I bought a camera strap.
Yeah, you sent me a message about it saying it's the most awesomest strap of all time. What? And I went and Googled it, and people seem to like it. What is it? What, first of all, what prompted you to want a new strap?
Well, I got that new camera, or new to me camera, and comes with like a crappy neck strap, like a Fuji branded neck strap. I hate wearing neck straps, period. Like, it's just not comfortable. I'm someone who's so used to now for the last whatever 7-8 years having sort of a sling strap style with my camera. Even though this camera is smaller and compact and I can hold it in my hand, there are times where I want to have my hands free. And if I'm going to go somewhere for a few hours and carry this camera, I would prefer to be wearing it sort of sling style around my shoulder.
But can't you just sling it around your shoulder anyway with the Fuji one?
Oh, it's not comfortable that way. Not at all comfortable. Mm. So have you used it that way?
No, full disclosure, I've never even took that one out of the bag. It looked terrible.
Yeah, it's not good, and it's just not comfortable. So, I mean, I think some people...
I have an old Canon 35, like a SLR. I added a D in there. I have an old Canon SLR strap that I use, much thicker, like the old red one that I use in place of that. I never bothered to use it. It looks retro, but it also feels retro, which is a bad combo.
Yeah, and I mean, I had two camera straps for my SLRs. I have the carry speed one, I think one that I got you for a birthday or something. A carry speed one that I find quite comfortable for, you know, an SLR with a large lens. Like, it's a very comfortable strap. And then I had the Black Rapid strap that I was using on the other SLR. And then somewhere in my travels and taking straps on and off and, you know, putting cameras on tripods and throwing stuff back in a bag, I lost the Black Rapid strap. Like, I don't know, maybe a year ago, something like that. And so for the most part, it's fine. Like, if I really need a camera strap, then I'll just switch the carry speed strap from my one SLR to the other SLR. So that was kind of, you know, something that I could easily do. It's not that big of a hassle, but I prefer not to do that.
How many bathrooms do you have in your house?
I have two.
Do you keep a toothbrush in each bathroom?
I do not.
Oh, okay. So I thought you were going to say yes. I do. We have three bathrooms, but I only really use two of them. And I have a toothbrush in each one for that the exact reason you're describing right now.
Okay. All right. And that seems to make sense. But so I thought, okay, here's an opportunity. I have this new camera and I would like a strap for it because that's just my method of carrying a camera. So I started, you know, just doing a couple of Google searches about, you know, what do people like for the Fuji X100? Because it seems a little bit overkill to use one of these big wide straps that are meant to carry a lot more weight. This camera is pretty light and compact, but I don't want a neck strap. So I would like something that's sort of sling style, but also doesn't carry a lot of weight and something that's relatively versatile. And then I came across this strap. And again, full disclosure, not a sponsor, no vested interest in me discussing this other than I really, really like this new strap. But it's a strap called the Peak Design Leash. And Peak Designs makes a whole bunch of different straps for different sort of sized cameras. This leash one is kind of meant for lighter cameras, although you could definitely, here's the beauty of it. So I have the SLR and I have the Fuji camera, and the Peak Design strap comes with these little quick release tabs. So they sort of are anchors and you put them on the camera. And it comes with four of these tabs. They're meant to hold about 200 pounds each is what they claim. I would attest to it. So you can put these tabs. So I have four. So I put two kind of on the eyelets of the Fuji camera. And then they have, like, for carrying an SLR or a heavier camera, they have like a bottom plate with a tab on it. And then another tab so that you could carry it like in the traditional sling style where the lens of the camera points down when you carry the camera around your shoulder. Mm-hmm. So I put on the 5D Classic that I have, I put the bottom mount that it came with and one of the other tabs. And then I put the two kind of side tabs that you would use for the Fuji camera. And then in a matter of about, I'm going to say it takes about 2 seconds, the tabs just attach to the strap. Mm-hmm. And then you basically just can go from one camera to the other. So there's no unscrewing anything. Like the tabs stay on the camera and you just lock them into place. The strap itself probably weighs, I don't know, 200 grams. Like it's ridiculously compact and light, but yet very comfortable. I put the 5D Classic with a 85 on it and just kind of wore it on my shoulder just to see. And I was like, yeah, it's super comfortable. Not an issue at all. And just that versatility of if you don't have a strap and you have two cameras, this is a setup, a light camera and a heavier camera. This is a simple strap that will fit the bill in terms of going back and forth. Very quick adjustability, just everything you want. Like there's YouTube videos. I have not read a review that doesn't rave about this camera strap. So it's available on Amazon. I think in Canada, it's $50. I'm going to guess in the US, it's probably $40, something like that. Right. But just the quick release kind of tabs and how it locks into place and just the quick adjustability of the actual strap to make for different lengths is amazing for a $50 strap. You're not going to find much in that range that's comfortable, versatile, and comes with the ability to kind of do these kind of quick adjustments. So a huge, huge bonus that I can set it up for two cameras and go back and forth like that.
And does it look cool?
Yeah, well, it looks like retro. It's sort of, I think, again, there's a black one and then there's kind of a gray with brown. I got the gray with brown just because that's what the store had when I was in there. And I thought, you know, it is meant to look a little bit more retro, a little bit more suited for the cool factor to go with a camera like the Fuji X100. Right. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, anybody out there interested in a strap, I highly recommend this one.
We'll need a photo of you wearing that strap, though.
Okay. All right. It's it'll be upcoming.
Yeah, we're all on pins and needles. No, I went and checked it out, and I was like, well, maybe I'll look in. I'm happy with my current strap situation, but you know, if something changes, I'm gonna keep an eye on that one.
Well, and just the fact that if you're trying to like really go compact, like this thing, like it's fabric, it rolls up so tiny, like you could easily roll it up into a little pouch pocket in your shirt or in your pants or wherever. Like it is very, very small, compact, and yet strong. So there you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna give you the baseball update.
Can't wait.
Season never ends.
Still going.
I told you I was heading off to Munich for the, beginning of the best of five series for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we swept, won our first two games of the five-game series.
Okay.
So that was good. A little bit of a dust-up after the game, too, which was kind of nice. A couple of the fans on the other team, I guess they had a couple of wobbly pops during the game.
Okay.
And got into it with the umpire, a little bit of yelling, and then ended up getting into a fist fight with their own players on the field. So that was nice. Yeah, sucker punched one guy and then took off running and beat it. And then about 15 cops showed up and surrounded the field looking for these guys. It was good times.
Sweet.
So they celebrated their two losses by getting beat up. We went to... So this is in Munich, and so the guys are after the game are like, hey, should we get something to eat? And I said, yeah, right down the street is a little place called the Augustiner Brauerei, probably one of the best beer gardens in the world.
Okay.
Big brew house, probably everyone's favorite beer in Germany, the Augustiner. And I said, yeah, we're going there. It's this huge, massive place, but it's a great beer garden. We'll go sit outside. Well, sure enough, it's jam-packed outside. Can't get outside on a Saturday night, but we have... Found a table for 16 inside, no problem. Awesome, awesome food. Just amazing experience. I even posted a picture, so you can see there's a picture of us, half the table anyways, enjoying the beers.
Sure.
That's with the iPhone. Just a simple iPhone snap shot on RAW. Not the greatest, like still a little bit dark, but able to save it with shooting RAW within Lightroom, the DNG file. So you sort of be able to save some sort of, because everyone else, they tried to snap photos with their iPhones there while we were there, and it was just so dark they just couldn't get anything. So
yeah, look, no, it looks reasonable. I mean, it's so, obviously there's a lot of digital noise, but but it's still decent.
Yeah. So point being, if you ever are in the Munich area, the you want to see the Hofbrauhaus. That's the famous one. They've got one in Vegas, right? You know, And that's a big famous one, but you really want to go see the Augustiner. Go there for dinner. Awesome. I had the big pork shoulder or whatever it was, pork knuckle, whatever they call it. Shrine's Haxa. Yeah. So get that. All right.
Okay.
So that's that. So we play game three tomorrow morning, game three and four, hopefully just game three. If we win, it's all over. And so they're coming in from Munich to down two games. So looking good for us.
Okay.
Had a little T-ball tournament, my kid's first ever actual T-ball game.
Yeah.
We hosted last week or on Sunday. And so we had like six or seven, I think it was six teams from all around the area coming in, like some from like an hour and 45 minutes away. Like,
wow.
For this little
prestigious.
Yeah, really. It was our first time we'd ever done it. But the team from an hour and 45 minutes away decided, so T-ball is for your age 6 to 8 here. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So my son, he's 5 and was just excited to play. And we have a bunch of kids on our team who are 6 and 7 years old, boys, girls, and none of them have really played before. And they're just out to have fun. And this team brought a whole bunch of 9-year-olds.
Nice.
So kids almost your son's age. Like some your son's 10.
Some of them are shaving. Yeah.
A couple of them drove there themselves. Yeah.
Power
and so
wheels.
They're all up there. Oh, yeah. It's just, it was ridiculous. So they're getting up there. And we don't even have a real field, right? We have basically two fields laid out in chalk out in the outfield of our park. And like just some cones out for a fence, which is, you know, that's like, I don't even think it's 180 feet away. I think it was supposed to be that. It was probably less than that. And so it's really short, and we're playing with those spongy Incrediballs.
Yeah.
And so these kids are standing up there on the tee and just literally teeing off, hitting these balls that are kind of going over the cones, and then just doing bat flips and running the bases like with their arms outstretched, like birds, like their chests out, like, oh, and
nice. Then just,
the whole team would come to home plate and just high five each kid as they homer.
My
kids are like, and my son, he's furious. I was so proud of him. He wanted to fight these kids. And I was like, yeah, if this was real baseball, Sam, you would high and tight. There would be some chin music. The next kid would be going down. And I was like, so I'm not mad at the 9-year-olds. That's what 9-year-olds do. But the coach seemed to promote it, which was really not like, my son was so angry after. He was like, why are they doing that? Like, why would they do that, Dad? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I was a little bit rattled. I didn't want to make a scene.
I wish you had video. Do you have video?
No, I didn't. I didn't shoot video of that.
After you saw it once or twice, you should have shot it. Yeah, that would have been
awesome.
You
know, you're right. I should have got my phone out and just grabbed some video just to embarrass them. Like that coach of that team. I'll say the name of the team is Heidenheim. Go ahead. Honestly, I would be embarrassed if I was that coach.
Do they always play T-ball and they just happen to be 9-year-olds, or they don't usually play T-ball and they just wanted to come to the tournament?
Yeah, there's a nine-year-old league. In fact, our 9-year-old kids were playing real baseball on the other diamond. Not against Heidenheim, they're playing against a different team. But point being is there's a league for them. You're not supposed to play in that league.
But so are the kids from Heidenheim, is that the league they usually play in?
No. No, they play. Oh, yeah, they usually play in the real league.
Right. Okay.
But they just came down because they wanted to go smash the ball. I said, "Well, that's awesome. Thanks, coach. Thanks for it's one thing. Okay. And the other thing was it wasn't like they were going up their first time smashing it every time. Like they're going up there smashing the tee and then putting it back on and then hitting a home run and then walking around like they own the place.
Right.
I was
right.
Like, well, if you do it first time, I'll give it to you, but. You shouldn't take 3 hacks on a tee to then pop it and then act like you went upper deck at Yankee Stadium. Like knock it off. I was embarrassed for their coach, and I said, you know, like I will not raise my son and my kids won't play like that. So proud dad moment though. My kid, boy, does he hustle on and off the field. He's just dead sprint out to his position, which is not really a position. They just run wherever, but. I didn't care.
He's running.
Well, no, but the other coaches were like, they get out there and they have like a lineup card and they're positioning their players. And the rule is like everybody hits. And then you just kind of keep track of scores. And I'm like, yeah, we're just going to lose every game. I don't care. You know, and they have the rule where it's like, you know, the ninth batter, you got to put the ball on the tee to end the thing or something. And I was like, just throw it to first base. But then they throw it away, and then the kid gets a home run. And it's like, yeah, I don't care. Like, what are you going to learn by putting it on the tee? Nothing. Nothing.
Right.
And so, anyway, so one coach, he's got his batting lineup on his iPhone. And it's like, what do you – let every kid hit once. Who cares what's the order? Like, what are you doing? And so, anyways – my kids had a great time. They hustle on and off. He gets out there. He gets in the ready position. He copies his dad. I'll be honest with you. It's a very proud moment for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Not so proud for that other team. All right. Last bit. I was on Don's podcast. Don Komarechka did a guest spot on PhotoGeekWeekly.com. Yeah. Last week we talked about some cinema cameras and whatnot. So go over there and check that out.
Okay.
All right. You know, not you, Adam.
No, I'm going to check it out.
You've heard enough of me and him.
Yeah.
All right. Reminder, monthly challenge for September is background. You got yours yet?
No.
Of course not. Is it September 30th yet? No, it's not.
No, I got tons of time.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Did I shoot any? Kind of. I went with, you might like this, another friend of mine who is a physiotherapist and I are going to be doing like a high performance training thing for baseball. So mm-hmm. we're going to basically try to make it baseball specific, but the idea is sort of a build a better athlete program. We're going to do physical therapy assessments, movement screens, strength tests, things of that nature on a group of baseball kids. And then we're going to design individual training programs for each of them. And then once a week, we're going to meet to do kind of group training sessions, agility, speed, all kinds of different things that just kind of trying to work on athleticism. And mm-hmm. then we're going to basically take performance measures, running speed, pitching speed, exit velocity off of a tee, and then mm-hmm. we're going to see if those variables change in 12 weeks with our training program. So just kind of nice. A fun experiment for me and another parent who, like I say, is a certified strength and conditioning coach as well as a physio. So we just thought this would be something fun. A lot of associations have sort of high performance programs, and we're just thinking like this might be just a fun thing for us to do. And if it goes well, then we might open it up to other sports. And as it is now, we're trying to gear it more towards kind of a skill set of baseball, but I could see it mm-hmm. being something that we do in the future for maybe some other sports as well. So,
and what age group are you aiming at?
We're going to start with like the age group like that we played baseball with last year. So like 11 and 12 year olds. Like Jack's going to take part, but we're going to target that age group first, and then like just as sort of a pilot project. So this is just kind of a fun pilot project to see what happens. And so getting back to the picture part, we decided that it would be kind of worthwhile to take photos of all the different potential exercises that we might use, because what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, give them each an individual prescription based on what we see on our assessments. So if a kid needs to work, you know, more middle back stuff, or if he needs to work more shoulder stuff or more leg stuff, whatever it is we sort of determine from the movement screen and the physical therapy assessment, that's what we're going to gear the training program for. And so we took probably 40 or so different pictures, like sort of a start position, finish position for each exercise. So when, like, we'll demonstrate all this and blah, 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 but when the kids go home and we kind of have the, you know, this is, you know, you're going to do exercise 1, 8, 12, and 16. They've got a list of what those exercises are so that they're right. hopefully doing them properly. And I mean,
and
there's
photographed.
And there's programs that will do this kind of thing, but we kind of wanted our own. So we're making yes. a master list, and then we'll be able to just use that master list going forward. And if we want to add a couple exercises down the road, we can take pictures of those. So we just used this like a clinic studio kind of setup, and then I just popped a couple of flashes up on with umbrellas and just kind of more or less just flooded it with light as we demonstrated the exercises. So
nice.
Yeah, it was just kind of a sort of a different way to do. And my main thing was, I was thinking, well, we're probably going to print in black and white and not color. So my mm-hmm. main kind of concern was just making the subject kind of pop from the background, because what I probably should have done was I probably should have done my previews in black and white on the LCD just to check. Mm-hmm. But I have a pretty good sense of what's going to render in black and white. So yeah, I was just kind of, that was what I had in mind when we were doing it. So yeah.
Nice. My prediction is you're going to find that this is for most people, even for young kids. And I know it's a buzzword. It's the core strength, but what I find ends up happening is guys get strong legs, strong arms, but getting the horsepower, like for hitting, for example, getting the horsepower from the legs to the arms requires a good transmission through the core.
Oh, absolutely.
Most people are really weak.
Yeah. And especially most kids, definitely their core strength is pretty poor. And it's amazing. Like even already, like what I've seen in some of the skill sessions that Jack's done, just even from a younger age, the skill providers, the guys that really kind of, you know, played high level baseball or no baseball really, really well, they've been doing, you know, core strength. And again, as a physio, sometimes, you know, I think that core strength that they do is not necessarily what I would consider core strengthening. But mm-hmm. in terms of abdominal strength, control, core work, they've actually been doing that for quite a while. Jack's been doing it for a few years. So some of them, the ones that have actually worked on it, are pretty good with their core strength. Like Jack, his core strength I would put as exceptional. His upper body strength I would put as like on the weak end of the spectrum. Like,
right.
You know, for him, he could do 1,000 different sit-ups, trunk twist, planks, but then, you know, 10 push-ups is a challenge. So yeah. It's funny, like every kid will have their thing they need to work on. So Jack, legs and core, good. Upper body, bad. Upper back, bad. So, you know, you're going to obviously design it for the for the kid's specific needs, which is the difference between like a lot of sports programs do is they just like, all right, you got 15 kids. We got a dry land facility. We're going to charge you, you know, whatever, $100 a team or $200 a team per session. And you're going to come and use our facility and they're going to have somebody just kind of run a group program with no sort of insight into what those kids specifically should be working on or need to be working on. And so having talked to a lot of parents and coaches about what they're paying for and what they think is missing, of course, it makes perfect sense that like you actually have to do individual sort of screens and analysis on the kids, and then you have to, you know, do individual training programs. Now you can bring them together weekly and work on, like you say, general agility and balance and core and all that as a group, but they all ultimately need to be doing their own routine to work on where their weaknesses are, right?
Medicine ball twists. All right.
Oh, now, you're going to be all that. Yeah.
You're going to photograph this and you're going to show us. That's the tie-in.
Okay. All right.
All right. The day after T-ball, my son had soccer practice, first soccer practice of the season. And it was just such a nice light out that I said, I have pictures of him playing soccer already, but it's such a nice light. I said, I'm just going to bring my camera. I also wanted to kind of test it, you know, see how it's holding up. As we talked about last week with the autofocus issue, was out of focus issue last week. But then when I blew the dust off the focusing screen, I want to see if that fixed the problem, and I can't get it to repeat. So I think the problem is solved. But point is, I took it out and shot some soccer practice and just got a couple of great lighting shots. And one, there's one with like my son just has $1 million smile, which leads me to believe he was adopted. So I like that one of him smiling.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
And then the other one was just really cool because the sprinklers were going in the background and provided kind of a cool looking background. Not really action. He's doing the little fine work on dribbling around a cone or right over the cone, probably, because he's not good at soccer. But I just like the background of it.
Sure.
So shot that. And then, I did, in the midst of coaching, I did at one point just grab my camera and snap a couple T-ball shots. And so here he is, his first at-bat, getting his first hit. First at-bat ever, got a hit. So heads up, Pete Rose, he's coming. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a real hit too. Not even he had a couple of T-ball hits later, like a couple like the, you know, you hit it right at somebody and they forget that they're playing t-ball. He had a couple of those, but this one, first one was legit.
Okay.
So very proud dad. Other than that, didn't throw his bat. That's more what I was happy about. He did not throw his bat at all.
Okay, that was also good.
Yes. Photo challenge. Let's get right into that now that we've blown 30 minutes. It was 35 millimeter equivalent, basically encouraging both of us to use our Fuji cameras because you like doing it.
Sure.
How about I go first this week for the first time ever?
Okay.
All right, so there's mine, just the one that just says 455 Allen. Because okay. It's the same photo I included four times, but I'll get into that in a sec. So, there's my kids. I actually snapped a different photo I was going to use. I had a really nice sunset pic, and then I went to use it and realized, again, my son was not wearing a shirt. And you know how the internet works. I'm not posting that.
Right.
So, this was off going to their first real day of school in the morning, and mom wasn't there. Mom had to go to work, and so she said, "Can you snap a photo for me?" In that whiny tone too.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, no problem. So I had the Fuji with me, got in nice and tight and just snapped this in the morning light, the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks good. This has got some context, there, and the light's good. And kind of back to what I was saying last week about, you know, taking a portrait, especially one with multiple people in it, like because of the wider angle, and just how nice people, their faces, like portraits look, nothing looks really distorted. And yet you have the ability, you know, to get multiple people in the frame. So it's just such a nice, happy medium in terms of that focal length that doesn't look like you're shooting whatever it is before you do the, you know, the 35 millimeter equivalent, but whatever that is, what is it? 24 millimeters or 22?
23 on the Fuji. Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't like, if you think, you know, SLR and what a 23 millimeter image would look like, it doesn't look like this. So
no,
it's awesome. So just, yeah, nice photo.
Now I included, three other versions because I know you know, you haven't really delved into the shooting with all the Fuji profiles yet, the film replica profile. So the one I use in my challenge, that is the Astia Soft, which is the one I use a lot. So you see the colors. Mm-hmm. Going up the top there, you can see there's the chrome, the classic chrome look,
mm-hmm.
which is a little more muted.
Yeah.
I don't use it that often. I don't like the colors very much. It does look like that old film stock. Like it does look like kind of that, those sort of muted tones. Other one I started to use a little bit more is the one below it, is the ProNeg standard, which is a little less, you know, you can see a little less contrast, close to the chrome, but a little less contrasty.
Yeah.
Kind of comes in handy. And then the other one I use from time to time, but not in this case, is the Velvia, like the slide film look. I don't know. What do you think of that one?
It looks a little too punched up to me.
Yeah. It's a little bit too much in this case. You kind of got to season it to taste. Not use it all the time, but in the right spots, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
These are all available in Lightroom. Like if you shot with a Fuji, you can't apply it to a photo you shot with a Canon. It can only be applied to Fuji RAW files, but, or maybe JPEGs too. I actually don't know. I never bothered to try it. I only shoot RAW with that camera, but, you know, rather than dial it in the camera, which you can do, you can dial it in and shoot JPEGs, but you could also add it later in RAW if you like, and kind of play around with it, whichever image you like. So I encourage you to go back and look at some of your images you've shot and try them in different profiles.
Sure.
So there you go. All right. Let's have a look at yours in the studio with a flash.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now that's like the one more step, because you know I typically use the Fuji as kind of a, you know, your point and shoot essentially, but like a lot of available light pictures, which I do use flash now and then. But tell us what you did here for the flash.
I don't see it. Did you move the photo?
I did. I moved it into with the rest of them.
Really? Oh, it's not showing up on. Oh, now it just did. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is what I intended to shoot. And then, I had an uncooperative son, and we just painted our bedroom last, last week, and it's painted in sort of the gray that's sort of at the top of the image, sort of in okay. the background. And so
it's your bedroom.
Yeah, that's our bedroom. And I was basically trying to position my son in front of the wall and shoot this kind of gradient image, but he wasn't very cooperative and set up the lights, and then he started goofing around. So I got this one photo as a test shot, but he's standing in front of the bed, and then because of the wide angle, like I've got bed in behind him, and then I've got so this was basically a very quick this was the photo. I took about three photos, and this was the one I liked the best, but I had so much background clutter that I just basically did a cut him out, and then I just did the background as a gray gradient in Photoshop. So this was the photo I intended to shoot that I okay. That I did not get, and then I just the wizardry of Photoshop. I did what I intended to do. So I was gonna basically throw a light in behind him and just create that gradient, but did it with Photoshop trickery. But this was exactly the angle and everything. With this was what I intended to shoot. So the 35 millimeter just up close with him holding his stick, and obviously you see the, I think it's a 2.8 aperture, I think is what I shot it at, and I focused on his eyes, and then knew that the puck and the stick would kind of create that little bit of depth kind of blurring in the foreground, and the end, like it was meant to be a simple shot, but yeah, mm-hmm. didn't get the cooperation I was hoping for, so I had to cheat.
Okay, so here's my photo tip for you then.
Okay.
Next time on Monday, your kids go to school, right?
I hope so. I hope they
whatever, do. Whatever. Next day here at school, you come home a little bit early. You take all the photos off the wall, all the
they are. Everything made. Was, I had the backdrop perfect. Everything's off
right,
the wall.
Right, right. No. All around the whole house. You go around the whole house and gather up all the photos you've taken.
Yeah.
All the photos like of him and all the books you've made, and you put them in a pile and you douse them with lighter fluid. And when he walks in the door, you light it up and go, see, that's what you get for not cooperating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it outside. Do it outside.
I think the takeaway, though, that I came from this is shooting the Fuji in the studio setting is you got to have a lot of space because you pick up everything with that yes. wide angle. And so I'm just not used to it because I could easily do this with the 50 or the 85 because I can just basically come in tight and get rid of all the background. But as soon as you're using that 35 millimeter equivalent in a small mm-hmm. space, like I'm usually working in is wow. Like I get the ceiling fan dropping down. I get the lamp over on the one side, and it's just, yeah, it's really a lot more challenging. So I almost need to set up the background stand, get everything out of the way if I want to yes. do this kind of studio shot.
Yeah, it's tough. I've tried it myself. And even then, like you have the white background up. You're like, wow, I really have to get them close to the white background because I'm filling this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then even then you can figure out like maybe a square crop or something like that. But yeah, it's a different animal. And I don't use it in the studio an awful lot. Every now and then I will. Where you are going to love this is taking photos outside in broad daylight when you can add that flash, like taking like a team photo. Yeah. This camera for a team photo and a flash is an absolute game changer. It's amazing.
Well, because I even shot, I was just fooling around with shutter speed in that, just, you know, because I can. But this mm-hmm. photo was shot at like 1/2000th of a second.
Right.
Just because I wanted to see like, you know, how much flash power would I need? I think this is like half power on two flashes, one in a, you know, reflective umbrella in behind them, and then sort of a shoot through kind of camera right, and 1/2000th of a second, because like I say, I was just trying to see how much light would I need, how much power based on the fact that I was using such a fast shutter speed.
Right. Yeah, again, that all then becomes a factor of what your aperture is and your ISO.
Right.
So even at ISO 100 or 200, whatever you can get down to, depending on the mechanical yeah, versus I think electronic shutter.
Yeah, I think I'm a very, I can't remember what the ISO is, but pretty low. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty low. And then you can end up filling like a 5.6 aperture pretty easily. Like I said, we'll talk about shooting this outside at a later date because it's really, really handy. It's just an amazing tool to have.
And just as a note, the hockey stick, Jack got his first, like he's 10 now. got his first legit hockey stick.
Oh, it's a one piece.
Well, he's had like the cheapest versions because it's really hard to find anything but a one piece anymore. But okay. There is like the ultimate, like the cheapest of the cheap one pieces, which is what he's always used, which still probably go for about $50 Canadian. There's nothing cheaper than that. But he's bigger, stronger. I always thought when he gets big enough and strong enough to really shoot a slap shot, I'm going to get him a real stick because the sticks are so whippy that like it's a massive difference maker if you have enough technique and enough force to properly use it. Yeah. And so, you know, this year, you know, he's 10, he's got a pretty good shot. And I thought, I'm gonna see if he can shoot a slap shot. And we tried it with his cheap $50 stick and he was struggling. And then I thought, I wonder if I get him a real stick, if he's going to be able to actually really kind of shoot a slap shot. And so I did, like, this was kind of a calculated risk. I bought him a nice stick. So instead of $50, this one's probably about, I think it was about $140.
Whoa.
So like we're talking like this is the best of his age. It's the also the whippiest. So certain sticks, like for his, like this is a 30 flex, which is crazy flexible.
Right.
They don't even make those sticks long enough for him until you go to certain brands. So this brand True, which is a big, big brand now for kids hockey, super popular, adult hockey too. They make these sticks long enough, but then on the super whippy end of the spectrum. So Jack's like 88 pounds or 87 pounds. So he's strong, but he needs flex in order to shoot a slap shot. So I got him this 30 flex stick that we didn't have to cut. And first time out with the slap shot, just hammering slap shots into the upper part of the net. And then I was like, wow, technology makes that much of a difference. Like it's crazy.
Do these sticks break?
They can. I don't think he'd be able to break it. They're also made with, again, this is the best of the technology. They also give you like I think it's on this stick, it's a 30-day replacement insurance. So like you don't have to pay for the insurance, but if you break it in 30 days of playing with it, they just give you another one. So they're that confident that a kid's not going to break the stick with normal use, right?
All right.
So yeah, I'm going to have to take a video of him shooting the slap shot because I was blown away. I thought, oh, you know, it's going to take some practice over the next few weeks. No, first shot, like just boom, and then I went wow, and yeah, so it should be fun. He's super excited. He wanted to sleep with it that night because he couldn't believe it because again, he hasn't done that before, right?
See, it's funny. I remember a while ago sort of shooting my mouth off, as I do, about lamenting about how the goalie equipment has gotten so big, like outlandishly big, right? And how it's shifted the game and how it's silly and, you know, I don't like it. And I happened to be shooting my mouth off to a goalie friend of ours named Judd, and who played, you know, had a professional career and with New Jersey and in the minors and that, and played college. And I was talking to him about that, and he said, yeah, it's gotten out of hand. He said, but the sticks,
yeah.
Are you kidding? He said the first time that when he's down in the, I think it was the IHL or wherever he was playing, he said he's in there, and he said the first time a guy came, you know, stepped across the blue line and let go with one of those one-piece sticks, he says the puck was in the net before I even saw it. It was just a game changer. Like, it's like, at that point, he'd played, you know, for 20-plus years. He's like, yeah, I had never seen that before.
Yeah. And I believe it. Just, and again, just the difference in that flex of that stick, because in order for someone who's 86 pounds to shoot the puck with a slap shot and really get force behind it and be able to get the puck up, that stick has to bend like crazy, right? And they're just not heavy enough. And so just that one thing, because I said his mechanics are so good that it's really just a matter of the stick cooperating with the amount of force he can apply, right? And so just that crazy whip on the stick is just, it's a total game changer, right? And
I'm gonna need one of the photo challenges. Then you're gonna have to shoot a nice whip shot.
Oh, that's gonna be challenging, I think.
Well, you can do that with the flash. You can stop the action, or
I'm gonna have to time it perfectly. I'm gonna have to take it.
Like, oh, heaven forbid! It's called a challenge. If it was just called a photo easy, everyone would be doing it. But
that's right. Okay.
So here's what we need. Here's
mission,
what you know.
Mission accepted.
Yeah, no, but here's what's going to end up. Here's what we're going to need to see. It's going to be some sort of a combination of you dragging the shutter so we get some cool motion in it, but the flash stops it. So we're going to see some whip and some stop action.
Oh,
in it.
Gosh. All I don't know.
Now on the ice, ridiculous. Too. On the ice.
Yeah, on the ice. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to go at like 5 in the morning before your practice, like a half hour early, and shoot that. That's going to look awesome, dude.
Okay.
I just said dude, so you know it's on.
So it's good, yeah.
All right. Topic this week, something that I don't know much about. So generally, I try to, you know, impart wisdom when I can. But now this is part question, part I have done some research on it because I'm confused. Have you ever heard of shadow banning?
No.
I don't know if it even exists really, but something's rotten in the state of Denmark, man.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So going back to, did you shoot anything interesting? Well, it's potentially our last home game. I hope it's our last home game of the season. And so I shot a magazine cover. And because of the way the game ended last week with someone getting punched in the face and there's a fight, I thought, oh, that's it. I'm going to make fun of these guys and I'm going to do a raging bull. So this is me mocking the other team for what happened. And I said, all right, so I'm going to basically take the famous De Niro poster and shoot it with one of our kids, and Raging Bull becomes Raging Hawk, et cetera. You can figure that out.
Yeah. Right? Here's my biggest compliment I can pay to you.
Yeah.
Is that in a small thumbnail on my iPad, when I looked at this, I thought, why is he going to talk about the Raging Bull poster?
Wow. Yeah. That's nice.
I'm partially blind, so my glasses prescription is very, very intense. So, you know, to put it into context, that's part of it, but no, it's really, really good in terms of that likeness of that player used, and just the pose and the colors and everything. It's like, I thought that was the real thing until I enlarged it. And I'm like, oh, it's his mock-up for this week.
Right. Well, thank you. I think he looks more like Ryan Philippe than he does, Robert De Niro, but, he's also like 17. So he, you know, baby face doesn't look like a real pugilist, but, and there are some slight differences. I did shoot it a little bit wider. I backed off a little bit just so I could include some text. I think the original poster is a little bit tighter, but that's a different aspect ratio I needed to use. So really minor points. But point being, so I shot this, we posted it on Instagram as we do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing, it goes out on the Tubingen Hawks Instagram site, which actually I noticed, I don't run that account, the Instagram account. One of the other guys on the team does, but I have noticed on there, there's a number of our listeners who do follow and like, our posts. So I very much appreciate that. If you're not following us, check us out, Tubingen Hawks on Instagram. So it's not just my stuff. There's all kinds of stuff gets posted on there. It goes on there first, and the guy who runs it, Alex, he basically puts the title up and like a million hashtags. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes out, and usually we get a pretty good response. And this time, not so much. Didn't get very good response. So I ended up posting it like yesterday, I think, or maybe the day before on our Two Hosers Instagram.
Okay.
And I copied all the hashtags over, like, you know, baseball and baseball old time, whatever, all that were on there. And added a couple more, like Strobist, et cetera, and fired it off. And got terrible engagement. Now, we're not Instagram stars by any means. Like, we kind of, you know, it's companion to the show, but I do try to put some hashtags out there to broaden our listenership, et cetera.
Right.
So we're getting very terrible engagement, which is not normal. Like, we usually get, at least, even if they're bots or something, we get strangers liking our photos.
Okay.
Nothing. Like, we're getting our listeners, people who follow us, are liking it, but that's it. We're getting no outsiders.
Wow, your feelings are getting hurt.
No, it's not my feelings. It's just weird. Like, I don't care. I'm not interested. It's not about the number of likes or whatever. And like I said, some of them are probably bots, and so not real anyways. That's not the point. So I had to look in and figure out what's going on. And that's when I came across what people are calling shadow banning, which means we're still on Instagram. People who follow us can still see our photos, But strangers who search for hashtags and say, hey, man, show me what's going on with baseball. They cannot see this image. It just doesn't come up. It doesn't exist. It's we're kind of banned into the shadows, I guess, is what the shadow banning means. Just quietly. They don't tell us we're banned. They just do not share our stuff. It's not findable.
Weird.
If you search for us directly and look for, you know, Tubing and Hawks or Two Hosers, you can go onto our page. You can see this image, but you can't stumble across it. And I thought, okay, well, what's going on here? Why is that? And
so you're not paying them.
No, I keep mentioning hashtags for a reason. So it turns out there are a number of banned hashtags that you just can't use. And some of them make sense. Like if you're, you know, into pedophilia or something like that, you couldn't put a hashtag. I understand that kind of thing. But here's the thing. You know the name of the team I play for.
Tubing and Hawks.
The Hawks. That's the one. So,
really?
So, yeah, Alex had hashtagged it, hashtag Hawks. Apparently, it's some sort of predatory pedophile something. Like it's a name, something, I don't know.
So once that one's on there, it's just none of the other ones apply. It's just like you're
exactly
gone.
Okay. Yeah. So apparently Hawks is a bad term on the internet, which is odd, but here we are. Okay. That's where we find ourselves.
Got to change the name of your team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't think of anything funny right now.
Birds. It's not, the birds.
It's not the funnies. Well, I would like to change the name anyways, but that's regardless. No, but so you know, it's a rather innocuous name. But so I said, okay, well, great. So I don't know if you didn't notice, but other people may have noticed that I reposted this image on our Two Hosers site without all those hashtags. I went through and applied just what I believe to be our approved hashtags. Just okay. Innocuous stuff. Baseball, Strobus, like just a few, just 5 to 10. I forget what I did. But stuff that should garner outside interest. Still nothing. Even though Hawks is not on there, it appears that our account, the Two Hosers, has been shadow flagged. And even though we post without those offensive hashtags, people cannot stumble onto our stuff.
Wow, we're banned.
So I don't know how long we're in jail for.
I feel like we're like Two Live Crew.
Oh, yes, Luke Campbell. So here to test it further, what I did was I used another account, my own personal account that I have on Instagram, which by the way, is just for family and friends. There's a couple listeners who snuck in under the radar but it's a closed off account. It's a private one.
Okay.
And so for listeners, if our listeners are going to try to click on it and say, hey, add me, I'm not going to, it's just for personal stuff to keep friends and everybody at home up to date on what we're doing. And if you're one of our listeners who got under there, I know who you are anyways. And so you're cool. You can stay. Anyways, point being, I went to that account. I unfollowed the Hosers account.
Oh yeah. Cause you don't want to be associated with those guys.
Yeah. With those Hawks. No, I unfollowed the Hosers. And then in that account, searched the hashtags, the relevant hashtags, the Strobist or whatever. Now, they showed up in one or two hashtag searches that image would show up, the obscure ones. But the more basic ones that you would search for, baseball, magazine covers, etc., it will not show up still. So that's what I'm getting at. So you're saying
the internet's a mystery.
No, I figured this out. So I don't know if this is a... Like, remember how we talked last week about how Amazon's probably listening to us on our talk to Siri?
Oh, yeah.
Not even Siri, just talking. Like, I don't ever use Siri, but you figure Amazon's listening and, you know, all of a sudden I'm getting all kinds of Hawk-related stuff suggested to me. But I don't know that Amazon's actually listening. I just know that I know, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if shadow banning is a thing, but... I'm telling you, no one can see our stuff. No outsiders saw it. No one commented. No one liked it or anything. So are they practicing shadow banning or is this an urban myth? But something's up.
Maybe people just hate your photo.
Possible. But that's what I'm saying is that even so, some of the bots still like stuff.
And
like
you couldn't find it either looking for it intentionally.
That was the part where I was like, okay, it wasn't an ego thing. I definitely went looking for it and it was blocked.
And this was not the case like 2 months ago when you would have done a similar kind of magazine cover.
No, because I don't typically use a hashtag. I use my own hashtags normally. And I don't typically use hashtag Hawks because it's so generic that I don't want to just cast a wide net. I kind of want to stay in the photography world. So you'll see it's, you know, for us, let's say two hosers, podcast, photography, stuff like that, learn photography. I try to keep it to an interest level of people, not just random, you know, everybody, right?
Yeah.
And
I love being banned from stuff though. So just so you know,
being banned in the IG is pretty cool. there you go. I guess, oh my God. Gonna have fun with the cover this week. Because you know the cover of that album, don't you?
I think so. I used to have it.
Yeah. Hidden away under your mattress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's a pretty offensive cover. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to get you to go ahead and pose for it this week. do you have an American flag, thong?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, Amazon, click through our site, buddy.
I'm sure they got it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. This
okay, I have a photographic question regarding your magazine cover.
Okay.
So, you know, to do the beaded sweat kind of on the model, like I'm looking at the photo on my full screen of my iPad now, and like you've got all the like the shoulder, like it really pops with the lighting of the droplets, which are supposed to be sweat, but I'm imagining he's not sweating that much. So you're spraying. What'd you spray? Right. Is it just water or something else?
Just water. I would have liked to have used like whatever it was, like glycerin or whatever they use. Like I think they put a little bit of milk in the water sometimes to make it photograph. So like his face is pretty wet, but it doesn't register as much as the shoulder.
For example, the face doesn't register much at all. I was looking, yes. I had to look for it, but the shoulder really does register. Yes. And there's a contrast to the glove because of the position that he's holding his hands up. So it really, really works there. And then underneath the glove too, as it fades to sort of a dark on the bottom of the image, like on the chest, because of where the light falls, it registers there. But then the far shoulder or camera left, and the face, not much at all. So I obviously haven't compared it to the original photo, but I just thought, it looks really good on that one side and through the chest, like how well that sweat shows up.
Yes. I would like to have had a person doing, like I was doing that myself. So his parents own a hair salon. And so I said, okay, when I pick you up, make sure you bring one of those little spritzers. And which he did. He had like, you know how you, the haircut. Well, I guess you wouldn't know, but
no, sorry. That's super offensive. That's a super offensive line of conversation.
Yeah. Well, you're rich from selling all that cleaning product though. So
that's right.
What do you care?
Yeah.
So he brought one of those over, and then, so I spritzed his hair all up, and then would between every two, three photos, I would kind of spray his whole body just to get it to beat up like that. Kind of wish I had somebody to spray it and for me so I could shoot him right away.
Right.
This is lit two SB28 flashes in shoot through umbrellas, one on either side, sort of three-quarter backlit, which what kind of provides that sort of shadow across the middle of his face.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't want just kind of flat lighting. I really kind of wanted this kind of some shape to it, but still I know like in a boxing ring, there is it's a somewhat spotlight effect because you're in the ring, but the whole ring is lit, and so I'm trying to replicate that, and also what's on the poster, of course. But it's sort of like large spotlights instead of what a small strobe would do, and so that's why I went with I moved the umbrellas as far away as I could in the room we were in, with just a simple black background hanging up. And then the rope in the background is just, I just added that in Photoshop. That's just a white line that I blurred and then kind of changed the opacity to match. If you look at the actual poster, he's got that line right behind his head.
Right.
And so that was 100% Photoshop. The background is just black. Like I didn't have to cut him out or anything, which is nice because the hair.
Mm-hmm.
I did cut a little bit around where the Spieltag has to go in behind, which was no fun. But in general, no, he did a good job, and he was excited. Never, I don't think he knows who Robert De Niro is, which was a little upsetting. But yeah, but there's that. So anyway, point being, if anybody knows about shadow banning, or if it's really a thing, or how long are we in jail for? Because I'd like to share our photos.
You know, I prefer to stay banned. Stay banned.
I don't know. I'm not going to use that hashtag anymore, but I don't know how to go through and search for banned hashtags.
Hashtag banned for life.
Yeah. But the point is, even if we don't use those hashtags, we're still banned right now.
Yeah. I love it.
So how long in the penalty box, ref?
I don't know. I want to get a Hoser's banned t-shirt going.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we're in good company, because I've heard it's happening to some very famous people too.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. If anybody can solve our problem, let us know. Otherwise, sorry for wasting your time. Don't use Hawks. Definitely don't use hashtag Hawks. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Monthly challenge for September is background, which Adam's going to have plenty of with that 35mm lens. So
sure.
There you go. Hashtag that to Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers, or tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll be sure to check it out. I really recommend you tag us, because we're banned.
And then you'll be associated with us, and you'll never be able to see anything on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm doing you a favor. He's like someone tagged us today. I think it's Roger tagged us like on my way home, and boom, I see it automatically. Like it says, hey, here you go. So definitely tag us, and we'll talk about that at the end of the month, beginning of next month.
All right.
Challenge for next week, Adam, is unless you have something better. I said, do you have a good one?
Do I have a good challenge?
I sent you a message saying, here, we're going to do X unless you don't want to do it, because it's not easy. Then you can think of a different one, and we'll use yours.
Okay. Well, what do you want to give me your suggestion? I didn't read everything you sent me. I usually read one every three texts that you send me.
Yeah. This one was meant for you. Street photography. Just street photography.
Okay. Street photography.
That's going to entail you going out with people. I don't like that.
No.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Now you have a few seconds to come up with a better one.
Okay. I'm going to throw it a couple here.
Oh, real non-committal. Perfect.
Okay. So, no, you tell me which one you like. So, okay. How about just a simple one, family? How about another option, celebrate?
Mm.
How about another one, hockey?
Yeah. Hashtag hockey will get you in the sin bin, too.
Penalty box. How about that?
Penalty box.
Do you like any of mine?
No. No, hockey, obviously, I'm not going to do. Potentially, the ice rink opens today here, the ice falla. So there's some talk of me maybe going trying out for the hockey team, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I know.
German national team?
No. I don't have a passport, dude.
Family is a good one.
Yeah, but that's pretty much what I'm going to shoot anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really challenging.
Street photography is not looking good for me in the next...
No, that's fine. That street photography is fine.
Street photography... No, it's not looking good for me.
No, I know. I understand. That's what I'm saying. I understand. That's why I give it to you ahead of time to say... But I don't know. Family?
Fall? Is it fall yet?
It's the first day, but it doesn't look like it. That's what I was going to suggest.
Doesn't look like it here either, yeah. That's a good monthly challenge for next month.
Probably for October. That'll be the one. It'll be awesome.
How about black and white inspired?
I was thinking black and white. Yeah. All right. How about this? Double down. Black and white with grain.
Black and white with grain.
Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say grain. You say black and white. We'll do grainy black and white.
Grainy black and white. Got it.
Has to be street photography though. Okay. That's for next week. All right, Adam. Websites. Where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at alanatridge.com, unless that's been banned, or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.